We'll start at this work here, I guess, because it's kind of at the beginning, or it's not even at the beginning, it's at the beginning and the end. So some of my aunties who are here today will recognise some of these elements. So this backdrop is a reproduction of a sign that my father made many years ago. So it's just a kind of a found object, but it's kind of been remade. And because this work was kind of when I was exploring this idea of memory and what happens with memories or remembering things and how they exist in the brain and what effect they have on your personality, that kind of thing. And these works were from a show that I had in Berlin when I was doing a residency at the Künstlerhaus Bethanien. And the show was called Ersatz, which means, it's a German word, but also is understood in English, and it means substitute. But in Germany, it would probably be applied more to the idea of football, where someone comes on in to play as someone else, for example. But I like the meaning of the idea that things could replace other things, and that in some ways, a memory is a replacement for an actual event. You know, when something happens and it passes, it becomes a memory. You know, and in some ways it's a kind of a replica of reality. And the way that artworks can be representations of things that are real as well. Anyway, that's what I say, but it might not be true. And it's kind of nicely positioned by the curator with the video called Backdoor Man, which kind of relates to that sign as well, because this is a sign that my father made that allowed people to know in which direction to go towards the back door, rather than somewhere else. And the gumboots were kind of, because there was a kind of a farm rural setting, there's a lot of gumboots, and instead of throwing the gumboots out, he recycled them into garden decorations. And he made his own little, which I've just copied, basically. I didn't really invent anything, except I replaced a horseshoe with a sausage. Yeah. It's organic. But it's a cast of a sausage. It's an organic sausage, too. It's only because it was in Europe and in Germany, and they eat a lot of wurst there. Anyway, so. And the soundtrack of the boots are talking, and they're talking about they're being positive, and they're just talking about walking forward, and it's a very happy day, and it's, you know, they're tramping along. So I was trying to be happy. And the video is at the house, which is actually not at the back door, but the front door. Even though it's called, you know, it really would be the back door in an odd way, but it's kind of where, it's kind of like a little circular kind of joke, where I knock on the door, no one answers, and then I run around and answer the door, but I've already gone. So it just could just keep going forever and ever. You know that you know it's a metaphor for life. Maybe. Anyway, we have to quickly. We haven't much time, have we? Okay. This work is called. It's from a show called Bedsit that was in Sydney Art Space a year ago. And it's one of those sort of works that's had a kind of a transformation from its beginnings to how it ended up being. So it's initially I wanted to make a kind of a theatrical work that was was reminiscent of English BBC comedy drama things. What are they called? Sitcoms, like particularly Hancock's Half Hour, if anyone remembers that show. And it's funny, but it's also really depressing at the same time. And the idea that a kind of a grown male lives in a kind of a bed sit on his own, you know. And that's the kind of the idea that I had originally. It was going to be like a piece of theatre, like with the furniture. But I found an artwork by an American artist called Robert Morris, who is a minimalist artist, and I kind of... the image of the furniture that he'd made appealed to me, and I basically just copied it, but doubled it. And then in my research, I found that he had he made this work when he was very, very angry and had wired the work up to 32 volts. So it was made out of metal, and the chair was like, it was made of copper and was filled with boiling water. So it was the idea that the furniture was unusable and it would cause the body harm. Yet furniture is one of those things that we naturally think of as part of our bodies, you know, that furniture fits with the body. And because he was angry because a critic had said that his work was too personal, and he took offence to that. And so he made this work, and I only knew that as I was already making the work, so I decided I would include the threat or the sound of electricity by recording a substation and playing it in the work. So my work is not the angry, you know, aggressive. It's the lame, limp-wristed version of Robert Morris in some ways. And I also changed it by putting the kind of like little figures that are sort of half kind of robot, half person things. And it reminded me of the film 2001: Space Odyssey. So, and because of my interest in that interest in minimalism, I made these monoliths, which are kind of like and have these minimalist proportions. So they have a kind of like a, you know, a type of excuse for creating something by saying it's based on maths, because it has a, you know, one of those sequences where the sides and the height and the width are a particular proportion, and it's an excuse to say I'm very intelligent because I know about maths, and minimalism had a lot of that going on for it as well, but in fact there's also a lot of humor in it as well. And so this is my reference to 2001 Space Odyssey. And I doubled them up as well and rescaled them. So there's a concept perspective, blah, 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 blah. And because in 2001 Space Odyssey, if you know the film, they were also a gateway to another universe. And I was also interested in this idea of the interior and the exterior. And so that these gateways to another universe are like a doorway, you know, and they even got the same shape as a door. So I kind of created this work of a door opening and closing and different characters appearing behind it. Because a lot of my work has doorways in it, because my dealer told me that and I believed him. So I kind of became interested in the idea that maybe there was something I didn't recognize in my own work, which is that I was interested in a doorway. And when you have a child, which I've just had, you know, it's almost 2 years old, kids love opening and closing doors, and they like, hiding their faces and exposing their faces. You know, they play peekaboo, and this opening and closing door is basically just another version of peekaboo. And it's a way that you test reality as a human being, because, you know, closing your eyes and opening them again, maybe things will be very different the next time you open them. In reality, they are. It is different, but not that different. But, you know, if you're having a psychotic episode, it might be very, very different. So this is like a special effect, you know. And so that's me wearing a wig, acting spooky. And then it sort of becomes the chimp and a horse and that kind of thing. And then the fancy light thing is just stolen from 2001 Space Odyssey. You know, the famous drug experience. This way. Keep moving. This is a photograph of a word spelling UFO. It's very literal. Okay. There's some and behind you. And up there is the a representation of an alien. And that was also part of the Ersatz work that I was talking about before, which I was talking about memory. And I think with that show, I was kind of doing some sort of things that I normally do, where I have kind of all different levels. So the figure with the fist is kind of at the, you know, on the ground, very earthy and based on the earth, and he's sort of looking upwards and cursing his, you know, existence in some ways. And so another element I wanted to include was the alien, you know, this idea that the and that aliens, when they abduct people, they also play with your mind, and they make you forget things, you know. So, you know, they abduct you at night when you're asleep, and often, you know, they replace your memories with something positive. But it was just an idea, just having, it's just the image of kind of being hypnotized, or being your brain being affected or being altered. And owls have a similar kind of relationship, I think, in terms of the, it's just the way that our minds work, and that we project onto these things. You know, I don't really believe in aliens or anything like that, but that's their image. That's how they've created, that's how they've been created by people, you know, like us, you know. You know, why do people believe in abductions and that kind of thing, and brainwashing and genetic, you know, experiments that the aliens are supposed to be carrying out? They're just things that we make up, you know, that we apply to them, because there's no proof, you know. But so it's an interesting little piece of myth. And the way that we see animals as well, and we kind of project things onto them that they don't really possess, you know. So that was partly that show, the part of that show as well. And I was, you know, as part of me sort of to become interested in this idea of that you people project into the artwork, and you know, like people project onto pets, or even their cars, or even their TV, you know, things that they become attached to, and, you know, attachment and that kind of business. Anyway, it's probably, you know, I'm working through it. And over here in this is the M doll, which was a commissioned work for the physics room, and it was a limited edition. You know, I came up with the idea of making dolls of myself, and you know, I just thought it was, would be a kind of a fun thing that the physics room could sell, and they could make some money for themselves to make a catalogue. But it became a kind of a much more difficult project, because it's, you know, handcrafted. You have to make each one, and it's quite a big job. And it sort of became something else as well, you know, in terms of sort of controlling yourself, you know, or playing with yourself, that kind of thing. Maybe, I don't know.
Did you do all the sewing yourself?
I didn't do the sewing. I got someone. I can't sew.
Yes,
but I got a fantastic, you know, I think the woman who made the clothing was, I think it's, fantastic job.
Yeah, you know. Even little pocket flaps.
Yeah, and I said I wanted to have like wearing an op shop suit, because that's what I normally wear. And she went to an op shop and did research on, you know, look.
What was the end thing in op shops? Or op shops?
No, this is just kind of like a suit. This is very similar to a suit that I was wearing. I think she Googled me and probably found a picture of me wearing a similar suit, apparently. And a guy at the physics room made the boxes, which are kind of coffins. And they're called M doll because I made a DVD that went with the dolls. That was a science fiction sort of story, and it was based on a dream that I'd had, where an alien comes to Earth and just basically sucks the Earth dry of everything. Its history, its knowledge, and just takes it away. And the Earth is basically like dust, you know, and except I survive. And so the part of the DVD was, or the film was, that if you can see the dolls now, it's the end of the world, because the doll has been sent back through space and time to, because it's the start of the end. So it's a sort of, again, it's a sort of circular thing. By the time, you know, and science fiction often has that plot. Anyway, you know. There's meaning in it somewhere. I just can't think of it at the moment. And over here, on this wall, this was also for a, because the last Venice Biennale, New Zealand didn't have a representative, but they kind of did by default in the end, but, and the art space in Auckland, the director wanted to put a have a kind of a presence there, so he asked some artists to contribute a page works. And this was kind of my contribution. I didn't really want to do it because I wasn't really that interested in it, but you always have to kind of find a way through these things, so you have to find something that actually will appeal to you and you can enjoy doing it. And at the time I was reading a book about the brain and how the brain works, and where the self is contained in the brain, the idea of self. And often how they locate that is by giving people MRI scans and asking them specific questions designed to where you can locate yourself. And I've used the questions and just turned them into kind of about the art world. So the different kind of variations of where you are in the, you know, it's kind of obvious, like the first one is there's no specific, you're not in a specific space. It's just random questions. And the next one is like you have to project into the person. So you have to have a sense of that someone else has a mind, and that they think very similar to you, that kind of thing. Or that, you have to think about yourself and project into the future or something like that. So that kind of thing. Because these are other things that were happening that year in Europe. So you have Documenta 12, Basel 07 and Munster sculpture thing in 07 and Venice in 2007. So they're kind of situated in the art world. And I don't often make work about the art world, but in this case I did. There's little jokes about the artist backing up to look at a painting. It's an old joke about what sculpture, when someone says, what is a sculpture? I think who said that? Felicity, you'd know. Who said that? Was it Justin? No, it's gone. Anyway, it's a famous joke about, what is a sculpture? It's something you knock over when you're backing up to look at a painting. They're just funny things about, artists and their need to be loved, more or less. Documenta? Yeah. It's in Kassel in Germany.
Kassel, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was like one of the best years in New Zealand should have been there, because it was the big, it's when the stars were aligned in the art world, Doesn't often happen, but that year it did. Okay, and this room is also just an exhibition, one exhibition just transported here. And it's called Hold That Thought. The title just was something that was going around in my head. So it's kind of like, it was more the sense of when someone, you're in the middle of something, you say, just tell someone to hold onto that, just hold that thought. You go, That's just a sense of that, so I don't know. It's institutional, so not a part of the work. And this was sort of, as it was situated in the gallery, it was shown in Wellington. The gallery was a lot larger space, but I wanted people to just enter a smaller space. So I kind of recreated a little gallery within the bigger gallery. So it was just, people's expectations of what they would experience was kind of changed. So that they, instead of walking into a large gallery, they walked into a small room, which is, and the work presented as kind of like all the cupboards closed. So, and it was this idea of an interior as well, that you had a sense that you were inside something. Whereas I think you wouldn't often have that normally when you enter a gallery, where you just think I'm in the gallery. But by creating a space within it, I wanted to give the sense that you're inside something more than just being at the art gallery. And also I kind of emphasize that a bit more by having a peephole that you could see into the bigger space, and also that the cupboard also had a door that you could open into the other space. So if you're so inclined, you could crawl through into the other space. And partly another thing I did that at the opening, I cooked toasted sandwiches on the other side of the wall, because I kind of wanted to have that smell, because it was about kind of I was playing around with other memories that I'd had, you know, from childhood, and you know, being kind of locked in a cupboard, and not by my parents, and you know, just the idea of being contained, also that within that, because it was the idea also that you're having that kind of that multiplying space thing, so that you know, when you open a cupboard, you have another interior, you know, inside there. And yeah, and this, and also there was part of the idea that because it was like a bathroom or something like that, so you had the kitchen, the kind of the cabinets with the mirrors inside them, and the medicine cabinets, and these were, I sort of saw these as medicine, you know, that you would open the cupboard and art could somehow help you, heal you, you know, could make you feel better. So they're like the, you know you got a headache, you go to the bathroom cupboard and you get some Panadol or something like that, and this was a similar effect, the Panadol of art, you know, as art. And but also there's this, you know, slight negativity, because you sort of see this fruit that's black, and I think you associate fruit that's black with rottenness as well, you know, but they're kind of, you know, and there's a smiley face over there, you know, fruit was just something I was playing around with as well. It was, you know, I still haven't kind of worked out what that's about, but, you know, there's a sort of a rotten apple in there. And this was cast of a book called Minimalism that I had. And, you know, the show itself was quite minimal. And that was a cast of two art magazines which featured skulls on the cover, because, you know, apparently there's a lot of skulls being made that year in art, and that both magazines were commenting on the fact that the skull is overdone, you know. So I went and I made it a mummy, because that's not a skull. Anyway, it's a joke. But. And over there, behind there, there's a yellow painting which was made of the medication that I was using for my arthritis, you know. And I just crushed it up and made it into a paint, form of paint. And that was another idea that maybe art can be used as